You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, May 10th, 2016. There are some recent developments in the Bangladesh bank hack story. Investigation appears to be following two lines. One of those lines leads toward insiders. The Wall Street Journal says the U.S. FBI has evidence that at least one bank employee was involved in the diversion of funds into a bogus account. Anonymous sources have also told the Journal there are reasons to think that individual may have had several accomplices. The other line of inquiry runs toward alleged vulnerabilities in the SWIFT system used to manage international fund transfers. Authorities in Bangladesh claim they see signs of poor technical practices, including questionable password management, that rendered the bank open to hacking. They want to interview SWIFT technicians, a police official told Reuters, to determine whether their actions were intentional or negligent. SWIFT, for its part, dismisses the Bangladesh police allegations as false, inaccurate, and misleading. Representatives of SWIFT, the Bangladesh Bank, and the New York Federal Reserve Bank are meeting today in Switzerland to discuss the incident. On the malware and exploitation fronts, image magic vulnerabilities continue to be exploited in the wild. Newer versions of the popular software aren't vulnerable, but older instances remain in widespread use. Policy-based mitigations are available for those older versions. Checkpoint warns that another serpent is frolicking in the Google Play Store's walled garden. They're calling it Viking Horde, and while its principal purpose seems to be ad fraud, it could easily be adapted to herding bots for spam and DDoS campaigns. Cryptex is that nasty strain of ransomware for which Kaspersky recently developed and released a decryption tool. Well, Cryptex has evolved. Proofpoint says the ransomware is now able to evade that decryption tool. The Cryptex authors are also thought to be responsible for the long-familiar Reviton malware and have been closely tied to the Angler exploit kit. They're also distributing it through new vectors. The Register reports that the Hollywood gossip site PerezHilton.com has been compromised to serve up Cryptex. Buckbee ransomware, little seen since its discovery in 2014, appears to be making a comeback. Palo Alto Networks researchers have found it brute-forcing its way into servers via vulnerable remote desktop protocol connections. This mode of attack, unusual for ransomware, seems connected to a wave of RDP capers against corporate networks, which Fox IT reported last week. Palo Alto says the criminals behind Buckbee claim to represent the Ukrainian Right Sector, a political organization opposed to Russian involvement in Ukraine. But this could well be a false flag or provocation, especially since, as Palo Alto points out, the use of the ghost algorithm suggests a Russian provenance for the exploit. As usual, attribution is murky. Other strains of ransomware remain a threat. We spoke to Triumphant CEO John Prisco. His company recently completed a study of Locky, and here's what he had to tell us.
We came across it as a result of finding it at a customer site, and then we were asked to build signatures or filters to identify it when it was seen again. We set about to prove that signatures would be useless in detecting Locky, and we did prove that because the malware attack mechanism morphed 5 times within a 24-hour period. So if I write a signature to catch it, it's going to morph into something else so that my signature is useless.
Prisco says their approach at Triumphant is to monitor the user's system to establish what normal use looks like.
When processes begin to deviate from the norm, we see that deviation and we record it as an anomaly. Locky is like any other process. It has to run on your computer for it to be able to begin doing its damage. And when we see a rogue process running, we find it, we identify it as malicious, and we shut it down.
It's a combination of proactive techniques, trying to identify Locky before it takes hold, and reactive ones, acting quickly when the system detects the intrusion.
Antivirus, which is effective in about 20% of all attacks, shuts processes down in a hurry, but it only shuts the ones down that it has a signature for. So the best of both worlds is to be able to identify something without a signature and to shut it down quickly. And that's a tall order. So that's why Locky and other ransomware has been so successful. We are working on speeding up the process. We've got the accuracy down pat. Now we have to speed it up so that we can shut these processes off in milliseconds.
That's John Prisco from Triumphant. Their website is triumphant.com, spelled with an F instead of a PH. The security industry is showing some understandable ambivalence about information sharing. Zero-day vendors are feeling the heat. Their alleged unwillingness to tell defenders about the exploits they've discovered is seen as weakening security generally. Some security startups dislike the decision by Google and its partners to restrict VirusTotal access to just those who contribute to it. VirusTotal administrators explain the new policy this way, quote, "All scanning companies will now be required to integrate their detection scanner in the public VT interface in order to be eligible to receive antivirus results as part of their VirusTotal API service. Additionally, new scanners joining the community will need to provide certification and/or independent reviews from security testers according to best practices of Anti-Malware Testing Standards Organization," end quote. And Twitter's move to block Dataminr from feeding the U.S. intelligence community is called by eWeek the foreseeable fruit of a bad relationship government has allowed to develop between itself and the IT industry. Finally, the world, including us, has been waiting for access to the Panama Papers searchable database. But since the data hit the internet yesterday, the results have been disappointingly unsurprising and don't seem to contain anything likely to bring down any more governments. Canadian tax enforcement authorities are taking an interest in the database, as are transparency advocates in New Zealand. There are a few more than 30 U.S. citizens who appear mentioned in dispatches, but they seem, for the most part, people who've been involved in quite public investigations of various forms of allegedly dodgy behavior over the last couple of decades. We searched, because we knew you'd ask, for all three currently active major party U.S. presidential candidates. No joy, kids. Also, no Satoshi Nakamoto, but we admit it was a casual search. No spouses, no aliases, etc. So while we won't say there's nothing to see here, move on, we ourselves will move on. Everyone else, feel free to gawk.
Hey everybody, today I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
Joining me is Malek Ben-Salem. She's the R&D Manager for Security at Accenture Technology Labs, one of our academic and research partners. Malek, I know one of your areas of research is big data, and I'm curious, what are the challenges when it comes to security when dealing with big data?
Security and privacy challenges are magnified by the velocity and the volume, as well as the variety of big data. Organizations have to understand how sensitive the data they capture is in order to be able to apply the right security controls to it. They have to understand how they're using that data so that they can manage it and store it appropriately. If it's used frequently, it has to be stored in data lakes that are easily accessible with the right security controls. If it's not used frequently, they have to think about how long they need to keep it. They need to think about who gets access to the data, especially if it's in a big data platform where it's stored in a distributed fashion. And they have to obviously have a data recovery plan in place for it. Based on those challenges, in terms of volume, variety mostly, as well as the velocity that data is captured, we need real-time mechanisms to be able to label the data as sensitive or not, analyze it in real-time, and apply the access control mechanisms in a real-time manner as well.
So what exactly does that mean when you're talking about the real-time analysis of that data?
So what I mean is the ability to look into the data in real time and identify how to classify it. Is this sensitive data? Is this extremely confidential, highly confidential data? Or is this data that can be accessed without any specific restrictions internally, but basically open for access to all employees in a company, for example, in order to encourage innovation and sharing? Those decisions have to be made quickly as the data is being gathered, as otherwise companies will be behind in terms of applying the right security controls on that data.
All right. Interesting stuff. Malek Ben-Salem, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.